Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals Limited Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishab Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Abhay Baijal, Managing Director, Mr. Anand Agarwal, CFO, Mr. Anuj Jain, Assistant Vice President Finance, Mr. Tridib Barat, Vice President Legal and Company Secretary, and Mr. Ashish Srivastava, Vice President Sales and Marketing. Before we get started, I would like to point out that some statements made or discussed in the conference call today may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with the risks the company faces. Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals does not undertake to update them. The statement in this regard is available for reference in the presentation. We will begin this call with opening remarks from Mr. Baijal. I would now like to invite Mr. Baijal to share his views. Over to you, sir.
Welcome to you all to this conference call of our third quarter results. Good day to everybody and a warm welcome. Since you have had the chance to go through the presentation and financial performance shared with you, I will not spend time restating the numbers in my remarks. This was a steady quarter, and our urea business continues to perform well. All our units have been operating at optimal capacity, and our urea production stood at 9.1 lakh metric tons and 27.15 lakh metric tons cumulatively for 9 months. Energy efficiencies too continue at optimal levels. Subsidy receivables stood at 468 crores as of December 31st, 2023. The good subsidy inflow from the government is helping improving our working capital cycle. Our crop protection chemicals and nutrient business continues to grow strongly. Over the years, we have introduced a range of molecules, most of which have been very well received and has helped us to further drive growth. It has been achieved by a deep farmer connect and a large number of activities undertaken towards enhancing brand awareness. We have a strong pipeline of products to be launched next year to strengthen our position in the weedicide segment of soybean, maize, wheat, and rice. We are also introducing innovative biological products in collaboration with R&D organizations to promote soil health and sustainability. Our biological product, Uttam Superizer, has been named as the winner of the most prestigious Applied Microbiology International Product of the Year 2023. The above product addresses United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. To drive future growth of our CPCSN, we have entered into strategic alliances with global and local innovative R&D companies for the introduction of new chemistries and stable and effective biologicals. The marketing activities that form part of our Seed to Harvest program are largely focused around digital and social media, which has helped deepen and expand our farmer and dealer connect. Our TAN project is progressing in line with indicated timelines. We have obtained all the necessary approvals. All the long lead items have also been ordered, and we are well on track to conclude our project on time. Our balance sheet continues to show strength, giving us the confidence to explore several inorganic growth opportunities, and we have been recognized with the Certificate of Merit at the National Energy Conservation Award 2023, which is the first time that we participated, and this is a prestigious award in the fertilizer sector acknowledging our substantial contribution to energy efficiency and conservation. I look forward to continuing our strong performance, and with that, I will now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you very much. So if I were to understand the phosphatic fertilizer policy, giving a fixed markup for integrated producers, you have started the business as trading organization. So what is your roadmap in terms of progressing towards manufacturer and integrated producer in phosphatic? And how do you read that policy? Does it match the current nutrient-based subsidy scheme? And how does it help, you know, in terms of the integration, especially when you look at backward integration where the benefit of the savings on input cost is actually sort to be, you know, netted out when they take the cost to give the market. You can share your thoughts on this, please. Very grateful.
I think what you are referring to is the new reasonability guideline.
Yes, indeed.
Which has been very recently published. And there were three classes which were indicated in terms of what the cap on MRP would be or the reasonable MRP would be for various producers, whether 8% for importers, 10% for intermediate producers, and 12% for integrated producers. So at the moment, we really do not have any plans getting into integrated manufacture of NPKs. If at all, even if we were to start today, it will be a 3 to 5 year affair unless we do an inorganic purchase. Inorganic purchases are always possible given the strength of our balance sheet. But that is something that we keep evaluating. Should a import, should a kind of a option come across and we find that the fit is there, we definitely do not have any hesitation in going through with that. That's what I can say. As far as the policy itself is concerned, it brings more clarity to what the government is trying to achieve. There are some issues the Fertilizer Association of India have taken up with the ministry. My feeling is that this is a first cut. It will evolve over a period of time. Once it settles down, I think both the companies and the government, at least the only advantage with this is that we have a clear understanding of what the government wants from us, and the government also can transparently calculate, and we can also calculate. So that is the only advantage of this policy. It has clarified some of the loose positions which were there prevalent in the previous reasonability guideline. Insofar as my view on the matter is concerned, well, it is a definite forward step from what where we were in terms of clarifying some issues, and most notably that the GST is not form part of the revenue, which is a very welcome step that the government has taken. I do have issues in terms of whether it should be 8% or 10% or it should be equal for all, but this is not the forum to discuss that. And all our views have been encapsulated and are being discussed as we speak in FAI and will be raised with the government in a systematic manner going forward.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's very useful line of thinking. So in terms of your crop protection business, as a percentage of your capital allocation and your overall revenue, is there any aspirational targets you have for the next 2 years, and how do you see the business moving, say, over the next 4 quarters, given the kind of uncertainty on the, you know, destocking-related pressures and the pricing pressures?
Well, we have a view that the way the prices fell in the last 2 or 3 quarters, this pace of falling has started to decelerate. I'm not saying that we have reached the bottom. I'm no predictor of how the prices will be. But in these businesses that we do, we have to clearly catch an average which works for us. So we will be making strategic purchases as per and whatever we are talking to our suppliers and our formulators is on the same lines. And do we have staggered purchase mechanisms? And we keep going through with that particular strategy, and that has paid us dividends in the past, including what we did last year, especially, was coming out from that particular strategy. You know that we are growing the business with a lot of efforts at C2 Harvest, Pharma Connect, and in a sense, explaining the advantage of certain types of molecules and new molecules, plus also developing a pipeline backwards into certain research organizations or research-based companies who can give us Gen 1 or Gen 1.5 molecules at least. So that effort of having backward linkages is also going well. And given our track record, the way that we have been able to quickly get the products into the market and create usage, many of the companies are now contacting us in terms of how we can take this forward in a bigger way. As far as capital employed is concerned, you know that when you see the segment results, what is the kind of capital that is required. I don't think that is very much of a difficulty for Chambal to obtain this balance sheet. And as we have already laid out a 3-year roadmap for the investors, if you were to, and we stick by that, that we will reach in about 3 years a number which I would like Mr. Ashish Srivastava to articulate what is the ambition in terms of the number that we want to achieve for CPCSM. And over to you, Ashish, on that issue.
Okay. So, Ramesh, your question regarding the capex and all, the capital employed has already been answered by Mr. Bajal. As regards your query on the inventories, if you do a deep dive on the 9-month results of majors of in CPC segment, the major has come from the export segment. The export has taken a beating. So we are not into that segment, that's one. Two is we are hardly having any inventory going forward into new season. And whatever molecules which are required for the coming Kharif crops, more or less the prices are stable. So we don't see any hits on inventory as far as Chambal is concerned. I hope I have answered your query on inventories.
And can you give us that aspirational target for crop protection chemicals in your roadmap?
It's already the 3-year forecast is already in there in our investor presentation.
So just a last thought, if you're looking at your overall annual growth you can expect in CPC over the next 1-2 years and the margins, how do you see that moving?
If you look at the investor presentation, we have mentioned a top line of 1750 crores from this segment in year 2027, with a contribution of around 310 crores.
Yeah.
It's already there. It's already there in the investor presentation.
Yeah. So, are you also looking at the custom synthesis, contract manufacturing, or CDMO models when you look at crop protection?
Ramesh, this is never ruled out. When you do a trading model, these things are never ruled out. So in case a good opportunity comes our way of contract manufacturing for our brands, why not?
Okay, thank you very much. I'll join the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Abhay sir, can we get some sense on trade business profitability for Q3? How much was the EBITDA or profit swing versus last year on the traded fertilizer business?
We did not do very much volume. In fact, our volumes are down almost 60-70% from last year. And whatever volume we did was more or less flat. There is very little margin both in MOP and DAP. The effect of any negatives was already taken in terms of stock valuation in the second quarter. So this was done more as a strategic move in order that our channels are supplied and our other overall business strategy goes forth from there. As of now, the situation with the MBS is that it is not viable to do DAP at all. And therefore, in terms of our strategy going forward, we have contracted 1 lakh tons of various grades of NPK, which is, in our estimate, something which we can do in terms of profits, profitability, and which helps us to sustain the channel in these kind of product lines. And as we await the new NBS subsidy figures, which the government assured us is just around the corner, the further strategy from there will evolve.
Sir, when you say flat margins, do you mean flat vis-a-vis last year or no profit, no loss?
No, it was more or less a no profit, no loss situation.
Right. And sir, on the NBS policy, would it be applicable from Q4 or Q1 only?
That's a million-dollar question. We ourselves have been asking this question, whether it is applicable for 1st of January or whether it is applicable for 1st of April. The answer lies in the files of the government. We are not privy to that.
Okay. Sir, can we get some sense on how much was the swing in profit for traded business versus last year?
It would be negative. It would be negative. In fact, or rather, I don't think it is more than double digit, small double digit numbers.
Okay. Sir, some sense on outlook for IMACID for Q4, given that phosphate prices have been more or less at the same level vis-a-vis Q3. I don't know how much has the rock phosphate prices fallen or where they are.
No, we expect, barring unforeseen circumstances, that IMACID should continue its good run. I do not know. They have not yet frozen their numbers for India supplies, but one marker comes from Jordan. Jordan has been contacted by Coromandel at 968 CFR.
Yes, yes.
So being that 968, maybe $5 plus, $5 minus kind of number would be there for OCP or IMACID as well. Now looking back from there as to the rock purchase and their adjustment, I think the price at which rock was charged to IMACID will continue. And basis the above, we think the run rate in terms, unless the plant does not perform and the sales are not absorbed inside the Indian market, I think the position will become clearer by 14th or 15th of April once the MBS is announced. So my view is that these factors being what it is, on provisional basis some material is being supplied. We will come to know in another 5-7 days time how this will play out, but I think at the moment they are on a good wicket.
Okay. Sir, in the PPT on the 5th page, under second point on channel model, channel capabilities, that point I'm speaking about, can you explain what that point mentions?
I would ask explanation on that.
A good observation, Prashant, because you know this is the first time we are talking of the channel thing. You know, we were generally a bulk fertilizer company. So if you look at the channel, you know, the bulk fertilizer segment and crop protection chemical segments are very different. But now a synergy is developing in that, and we are looking to expand our market depth as well as width for this, and which is giving us dividends. So we are looking at retail outlets as our future dealers, who are primarily CPC and SN selling dealers. So that's what we are building on.
What is the significance of this 25% and 10,500 crore and then 750 crore?
See, our present, I'll answer that. You know, our present market, which are where when we started the CPC and business, the width and the depth were in the range of 10 to 12%. So as we started building up the channel capability, building up the channels in retail segment, those widths and depth accrued to us. That is the reason we are doing exceedingly well in the CPCN segment. Does that answer your question?
So Prashant, I think to make it simple, was that there are two channels. One is a fertilizer channel, and there is other than fertilizer channel to distribute this. What I think is being indicated is that not only we will now, we have onboarded to some extent and created wallet share in the fertilizer channel, which is what we have done. We are also now jumping the channel into pure pesticide or CPC channel. That's what I think is meant.
Yeah.
So we are widening the scope.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, has the state government finalized the incentive that they will give us for TAN?
Yes, I think that has been organized. That was done some time back. I will not reveal the numbers, but it is a healthy figure, and this has been closed with the government of Rajasthan.
But sir, it would be a public thing only, so what is the hesitation in revealing it?
I think we will disclose it, don't worry.
This is as per the guidelines issued on, you know.
It is not a figure that is available on a website. It has to be derived. This is certain numbers to be achieved, milestones to be achieved. So we will, in fullness of time, we will reveal it.
Okay. So some bookkeeping questions. What will be the gas price for Q3?
Gas price for Q3 is around $18 and NCR basis.
And current price?
$18.
Yeah. Currently it is about 17.35.
Sir, okay. And sir, what would be the breakup of power, freight and packing expenses?
Could you repeat that? Then get it.
Breakup of other expenses into power, freight and packing.
Okay. Let Anand answer that question.
Yeah. So, I don't know how you relate, because it all depends on the gas prices. So, out of our other expenses, I think power and fuel is almost 1,000 crores. And freight is around 155 crores.
Okay. And the surplus ammonia volume for the quarter?
25,000.
I think about 25,000 tons were sold.
25.
And yes. Lastly, how much will be the contribution of G3 for urea sales?
That is one question nobody wants to answer. But it is there. You know that in the formula, there is a, we get paid $285 based on $6.5 gas price, and for every dollar increase in the gas, we get another $20. So basically, the multiple is about 5 times, 5 gcal per metric ton is what is embedded into the formula. So you can make a calculation.
No, I meant volume contribution from G3 this quarter.
Oh, volume contribution is about 3 points. Can you please?
I have that. Yeah, just give us a minute.
3 points.
Yeah. G3, I think the overall sales have been 3.37 lakh tons in this quarter.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Okay, Prashant,
thank you. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hamshi Desai from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for taking my question. So my first question is on this PBT margin cap. So as a trader, you have a margin cap of 8%. So is it fair to assume that, you know, there is this, we do not consider this as a limit, a cap on us, and how do we see the margins, you know, because the margins for in the con calls with the manufacturers, they mentioned that, you know, they have a lot of leg room. So what is the case for us?
See, I will also say that there's a lot of headroom because at the moment, if you take DAP as a part of this whole thing and exclude all other products, you start with negative margin. Okay? So, but what this current formulation is, it does not take only one single grade. It takes a combination of all the grades that you do. Let us say, for instance, if I am doing in a quarter or in a year, 12, 32, 16, 10, 26, 26, 20, 20, 0, 13, DAP and MOP, all of them will be clubbed together, and the combined sale and its cost will be determined. And on that basis, it will be determined whether the 8% is there or not. In my opinion, what somebody told you that there is a healthy headroom, I would second that. That's not an issue.
Understood, sir. And sir, on the CapEx side, so how much CapEx have you incurred in the crop protection side in 9 months?
See, there are two parts to it. One is the TAN. In TAN, I think we have 200 crores have been.
194%.
And as far as other projects are concerned,
Around 210 crores.
Another further 210 crores.
So it's close to, in the first 9 months, it's 410 crores. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And sir, the total CapEx that we have on TAN project is 1,645 crores. Out of that, 200 we already spent in the first 9 months. So how do we have spread it out in, you know, in FY 2024 and till the commissioning in FY 2025? Have we spread it? Have we spread the CapEx?
I can give you percentages. I think about 60% will be spent this year. Between 50%-60% will be spent this year. Up to, let us say, if you were to take up to March 2025. And the balance thereafter, some part is a lingering tail because it is subject to retention and so on, basis of contract. So 10-odd% always is kept retained for some time for achieving certain milestones and performance parameters. So I would say about 50%-60% will go out by March 2025.
Understood, sir. So in the second quarter call, you mentioned that, you know, you guys are planning for a 350 to 380 crore investment in next 3 years in energy saving schemes in Gadepan 1 and 2. And you expect to derive rupees 100 crore per year cost savings. So can we expect this cost savings to kick in from FY 2024 onwards, or have we already have some cost savings from FY 2025, or do we already have some amounts of cost savings in FY 2024 already itself?
I think subject to a successful conclusion of our turnaround, which is all, as we say, ongoing. One of our plants is already undergoing a turnaround.
Okay.
So both Gadepan 1 and 2, we would start reaping the benefit, if all goes well, from middle of April or so, once the plant stabilizes. So, very much baked in for 2024, 2025 numbers.
So for your question, I think around 40%-50% will be spent in this ATR, which we are doing now, and the balance over a period of next 2 years.
Understood. Understood. And so on the crop protection side again, you know, according to the presentation, we have seen that in the first 9 months, revenue share of insecticides has been the highest, and followed by weedicides, and the last is fungicides. So, can we understand that we have the highest amount of portfolio on the insecticide side, and, you know, the rest follows? Or how is the number of products between these three segments?
Ashish will answer that.
Okay, so if you look at the breakup of insecticide, herbicide, and fungicide segment in Chambal's portfolio. So Chambal's portfolio is around 44% of insecticide, 41% of herbicide, and 15% of fungicide. And if you look at the quarter, this quarter results, you know, it's primarily a weedicide, this thing, and on skin weed. So insecticide majorly are consumed in paddy crop, which was in the first half of the year.
Understood, sir. Sir, and lastly, can you throw some light on the specialty nutrient segment? You know, what kind of products we have, and what kind of margins are we making in this particular segment?
Okay, so the product portfolio consists of two variants of sulfur, which is water dispersible granule as well as a bentonite sulfur. Then we have water soluble fertilizers, primarily the calcium nitrate, this thing. The other major thing is the mycorrhiza, for which we have seen it in the thing which we have got the award, the product which came from the research of Terry. That's the major segment. And then we have certain micronutrients and zinc. That's the total portfolio of specialty nutrients.
And so the kinds of margins in this segment?
I think we report CPCSN as a together segment, so it should not be proper for me to put...
No, I just said it's a healthy, yeah. Double digit.
Yeah. Understood, sir. Yeah. So that is helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Himanshu Binani. From Manan Rathi, please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. So, sir, my first question was largely on gross margin side. So, we have seen a very decent improvement in gross margins during this quarter. So, maybe if you can, throw some light in terms of the increase in the gross margin and the segmental contribution, basically. So, which segment has, contributed to more to the gross margin level?
Well, I think in terms of segments, you would have understood what the CPCSN has done and what the urea and maybe the traded products have done. So, because the traded product sales were so less as compared to we just did 1 lakh tons of lakh tons of NPKs. That is DAP plus MOP, and mostly all our sales were urea. And as I mentioned in my opening remarks, that we were running, this is winter season, we have good efficiencies, and energy was saved because the plants ran very steadily, and we also had ammonia sales. So all concluded, we got that lift in the margin. And in the CPCSN, it is anyways, you can see about 22-23% type of number which is there. So these are the two reasons why the margin looks healthy. We did not have any inventory-related issues, either in the CPCSN business or in the NPK business. Whatever was there was already accounted for, as we have explained to you, in the last quarter. So there was no carry forward issue as far as the third quarter was.
Well, I just wanted to pinch on this. The new...
Your audio is not clear.
I'm audible?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So just wanted to have a sense on this, the new capping policy basically. So in the current scheme of things, if you look, so looking at the global prices also and the trading business, particularly into the fertilizer segment, that is not at all remunerative. However, what the government is suggesting is that if at all the industry is making any sort of profits over and above the cap limit, so they need to return that to the government. So in the current scheme of things, we are not able to make any sort of profits in the trading side. So can we expect any sort of reversal as and when this gets implemented from the government, be it 1st January or 1st April? So can we expect some sort of reversal in terms of the current losses which we are making?
See, we are not making any losses. Let me explain. As I just explained, that we have calibrated our portfolio to a strategy where we will not make any losses. Whatever we have bought in the first quarter in January and fourth quarter in January, that is at profitable numbers. Now, coming back to what is the government's stance, I think the government's stance is to make the fertilizers available at reasonable MRP to the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is reasonable MRP, what is a mandated MRP I think a nuance is there. A reasonable MRP is something which is what the farmer normally expects in terms of what he should be paying. It is more a function of what is derived from his perception of what the past prices have been. And that is also suggested in terms by the Department of Agriculture and Welfare, etc., that this is a price at which the application would be suitable for the farmer given the MSC and so on. So that is one sort of calculation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given the international prices and the commodity prices, obviously if the government wants the MRP to be affordable from the point of view of the farmer, it has to make an adjustment to the subsidy. Unfortunately, in the last 5 or 6, 7 quarters for the industry, that adjustment in subsidy is not visible, especially in the case of DAP. So the reason for that is that I don't know from where, whether they are benchmarking the product cost that comes from import or they are benchmarking the product coming from an integrated producer. What is their calculation or what is their thought process is not very well revealed to us. Now going forward, assuming that they have given a reasonability guideline, it stands to reason logically that when you have got a reasonability guideline, then people cannot raise the MRP arbitrarily or they will fall foul of the cap, which means that inherently there is a signal, although very faint and not very obvious, that the government are thinking in some way to go back to the earlier NBS policy where the subsidy was fixed and MRP was floating according to circumstances. So if it is around the corner, it is possible that it may happen after the election. I can only speculate, and nobody can speculate on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
What the government will do, the only the government. And we have to respond to what the position evolves in terms of policy and prices and take our positions accordingly.
Got it. Because of the question, the reason behind asking this question was that as we have been like making a break-even sort of number and assuming this to be at the gross level or at the EBITDA level, but then this 8% margin cap is applicable at the PBT level. So maybe at the PBT level we would be incurring some sort of like losses in the current.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. What we are absolutely correct. If we are at EBITDA nil-nil, then after counting interest, definitely we will go down. But in our situation, what we are doing is that, first of all, the quantity that we did, for instance, in the third quarter was adjusted according to the needs of the channel and we did not take over exposure, and whatever exposures that we took, if there were any losses on stock, that was number one. Number two, going forward, we calibrate our portfolio strategy for such markets and where we have got stakes in such a manner that we continue to remain slightly positive or above, and if per chance we can make a profit, why not? And when now that this policy is applicable from April of 2023 and it provides us with that particular possibility, we will definitely calibrate it to that extent that we make good EBITDA numbers.
Got it, sir. My second question is largely on fertilizer inventory position as on 31st December. So both into the urea side, the non-urea side, inventory position for our company as well as any sense on the industry and the outlook going forward for the kharif season, sir. Thank you.
I think Ashish is qualified to answer that question.
So, Himanshu, we don't have access to the inventory of competitors as well as country, but our market intelligence and data analytics suggests that, you know, that the urea inventories year-on-year basis as on 31st January is up by 51%. For DAP and NPK, this is around... That is not in... So, and on DAP and NPK, and you know, tentatively the urea inventory should be around around 7 million tons, roughly. That's what's our calculation. We don't have access to that. DAP inventories should be around 2 million tons. NPK should be around 3.9 million tons. And MOP should be around 1 million tons. That's
ballpark number we can share because we don't have access to that data. This is our own internal calculations.
Okay. So, sir, just one follow-up question regarding this only. So, sir, last year, if I understand, we were like in entry position for the industry, we were at a neck-to-neck in terms of the inventory and the demand, basically. So, how would you actually term this number as? A moderate inventory, a normal, or an higher size?
See, if you look at the, our estimation is that by the end of this financial year, DAP would be an adequate inventory, what has been in there in the past. Same is with NPKs and potash. So I don't see much changes in those, in the adequate inventory levels, what the country envisages on 1st of April.
Got it, sir. And sir, if you can repeat the MOP inventory level number, please.
Around 1 million tons.
1 million tons. Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So if you're looking at FY25 and 26 until you start the ammonium nitrate project, so in based on your modernization and turnaround in the urea plant, you know, is there any potential for additional volumes and additional contribution to your EBITDA and profits from the urea business over FY25?
So the TAN business is a forward integration of the ammonia surpluses that we have, technical ammonia surpluses that we have. With the further debottlenecking, etc., definitely there are small possibilities to the extent of 4-5% further expansion in ammonia availability. That ammonia availability could feed into other products in the nitric acid chain or nitric acid production itself, from weak nitric acid to concentrated nitric acid and so on. We are working on those possibilities. I think last time also I had made a mention of this issue. Going forward, 25-26, once the full modernization of, should we say, the debottlenecking or the energy saving schemes that are put in, there are possibilities which we are examining further than what we are already there. There are schemes which are being proposed by both Alder Topso and by KBR, both our licensors, which are under study. And they could yield further ammonia during the by debottlenecking, etc. So that could lead to further possibilities in the nitric acid or the chemicals business, which we are, unless it is properly evaluated in terms of the cost benefit, etc., and the schemes that are being proposed, we'll have to then take it to the board, get it approved. So that is an ongoing study for which the results should be available in the May to June time frame. And as and when they are approved, we'll definitely come back to you.
So FY25, is it fair to understand it will be more or less flat compared to FY24?
No, there are two things. You must understand that this year we have had shutdowns of Part 1 and 2 in March 24. Going forward, these two plants will continue for 1 year and second year of operation. So 24-25 is full year of operation. 25-26, again, there will be a major turnaround. And in that point of time, Gadepan 3 will be in annual turnaround in 24-25. And 25-26 will be basically a replica of
currently
23-24.
Okay. So just one last thought. So if you're looking at the growth from the ammonium nitrate project, what is the kind of average price you are expecting for ammonium nitrate in terms of your current discussions with customers? And how do you see the lumping of projects from other competitors like say NFC, APAC Nitrate, and your own project coming online, kind of creating a surplus? Although the long term picture.
Yeah, when we did the study for ammonium nitrate, we have taken these capacity expansions into account. One variable in this is Russian imports. which keep fluctuating. For the, in this current year, there have been a lot of Russian imports of ammonium nitrate. But on the other side, the government's continued emphasis on infrastructure and power and so on. And I've heard the Minister for Power saying that we will have to invest in some 80 gigawatt or whatever of electrical energy, 80,000 megawatt and so on, which will require huge amounts of coal. And that coal has to come from coal mines. And those coal mines have to have time. So my view is that on the one side, there is production. On the other side, the demand is supposedly going to accelerate. We have seen or we had planned for a 6% CAGR, but I think this will accelerate by at least 1.5 to 2%.
With Coal India and all going for gasification, I think the demand will increase much more exponentially than we have estimated.
Okay, thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ruchita from iWealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Very good evening. So my question was on PNK fertilizer side. So could you help me, what is fixed and the variable cost in this business, like in terms of absolute value, maybe for this quarter or maybe for FY23, if you could help me with?
Madam, there is no fixed cost. This is a trading business. So basically, we have only variable costs. The fixed cost is a very small component. It is required to run the administration services and the sales and operating processes in the system. But as of now, as we have been saying this, the cost and the values of the revenue are more or less matching, which is why there is no margin.
Okay, understood. And so, a little basic, if you could help me with this EBITDA per ton for Gadepan 1 and 2 and Gadepan 3. I remember in one of the calls you had mentioned that Gadepan 3 is around $130 per ton. So, is there any variability to it? Like if, you know, the gas prices go above a certain level, how much, you know, incremental do we get?
See, this is a formula-driven business where a percentage of the gas feeds back as efficiency gains. Difficult to say without first pegging the dollar number on gas. That is one thing. The other thing is the dollar value itself, whether it is 83 or whether it is 65, that will also make a difference. So it's a little bit of an involved calculation. So I would suggest that if you were to divide the number of tons with the kind of EBITDA we have reported, because the fact that I mentioned was that there was hardly any profit or loss from the right. trading business, you will get the number. It's a very simple calculation.
Okay.
Okay,
sir. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
So how much headroom do we have to sell urea from G3 in fourth quarter?
We have, what do you mean by headroom? There is a certain stock that we have to sell it.
So, sir, I mean, how much have we achieved already and how much can we sell more?
See, I think what we will produce, we will sell.
Hello?
You got what I'm trying to say?
No, sir.
That means that the opening stock and closing stock will remain more or less there, and whatever we produce will get sold.
No, no, I meant that the mix between G1, G2 and G3 varies.
Actually, G3 will increase, no, because if G1 and G2 will not produce this quarter, G3's mix will increase.
Okay, and G1, G2 are going for maintenance shutdown in March only.
Yeah, 32 and 36 days respectively. So you can assume that on an average, 32 days or 33 days multiplied by 6,000 tons about 2 lakh tons is off the table. Yeah.
Sure. And sir, you alluded to this NBS policy in your opening remarks. Is it likely to come in February? I mean, I know there is no accountability.
It is in the files of the government, and what they think when they should reveal this. My understanding is that discussions are ongoing between Department of Expenditure and Department of Agriculture and so on, and one or two ministries have given their feedback. One or two are awaited, and then it has to be presented to the cabinet.
And what would be your plan for traded fertilizer business for next year? Any targets in terms of volume?
So it is fluid. As I said, that this is a business that we are doing for two reasons at the moment. At the moment, given the kind of situation which is with respect to frozen MRPs and kind of negative contribution, is to do only to the extent that is strategically necessary for our channel. So, and secondly, to focus on certain grades which will give us more benefit in terms of the markets that we are addressing. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, in terms of understanding or keeping the certain portfolio approach that we have in certain other markets, which are our core markets. So these three considerations are driving what we will do. The moment the NBS is restored back, I'm very sure that our volumes will bounce back.
And sir, for this portfolio approach and to keep your, to maintain your channel relation, typically 1 lakh ton of volume is enough if the subsidy is adverse, like in current time.
No, we are not saying that it will work, but the fact of the matter is the grades that we sell have to fit to the market, right? And we have to also see the stock of the alternate product which is available. There are people who are still bringing in DAP, which means that the market has that stock in the system. So we'll have to see. There is a substitution effect, and there is when the main product is available, the substitute will not sell. Unless that substitute is the preferred product.
I meant to
there
ask.
There are pockets in the markets where we can address that. There are pockets which is not a widespread requirement. So if there is not a widespread requirement, that volume will not work.
Sir, I meant to ask, in a year, how much is the minimum volume that you will do for sure in treatment?
I don't think we can make a number of a minimum volume or whatever. We have to play it by the year. We went up to a million tons. We came down this year to something. We came down. And so next year, how much we will do, it's still being cooking inside our system. We can't really at the moment reveal what we will do. But maybe I can answer that question post the publication of the NBS rates.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Himanshu Binani from Manan Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir, once again. So, sir, my question was largely on the CAPEX side. So, we have been, like, evaluating for any sort of, like, organic or inorganic growth, particularly into the complex fertilizer side. And we have been, like, on the drawing stages or the discussion stages. So, maybe if you can, like, throw any light on the status of that and when can we, like, expect any sort of, like, announcement from your end?
No, I'll just put it this way. When we said we were evaluating, we were also seeing the developments on the how the government is treating the NBS policy. We can see some clouds moving away on the NBS side, with the first is the publication of the new reasonability guidelines. I think we will need a little bit more color on where the government is going with its policy, integrated, non-integrated, etc., what is happening on that. and whether organic or inorganic. That also depends on whether we can strike up some alliances or do something on that particular basis, because you will know that, or you will understand that the de novo investment to bring into the market is a 4-5 year affair in terms of how things work in particular India. So our first thought process would be to see if there are alliances, inorganic possibilities, etc. And that again depends back on how the policy or what is the thinking of the government. We really are not very clear as to where it is going, although we see some silver lining in the clouds. And when we said that last 2-3 times, when I kept on saying that we are looking at that, basically our pointer was to that we do not really know where this business is going in terms of the NBS policy. Because if it continues like this, as it is today, it will be very difficult to for a non-integrated player to make money. And it will be an off-and-on affair with an investment on the books. It's not something that's expected for Chambal.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you, gentlemen and ladies, for patiently listening to our answers, and I hope we have enlightened you to the extent that you felt necessary. We hope to have a good quarter, as I said, going forward, and we look forward to welcoming you in May when we discuss. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.